Hi, I'm Courtney Harmon, Director of Industry Relations at Krillate. This is the Industry Spotlight, a series of the Full Desk Experience, a Krillate original podcast. In this series, we will talk with top leaders and influencers who are shaping the talent industry, shining a light on popular trends, the latest news, and the stories that laid the groundwork for their success. Welcome back to another episode of the Full Desk Experience Industry Spotlight. Welcome to the Full Desk Experience Industry Spotlight, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of staffing and recruiting industry. I'm your host, Courtney Harmon, and on today's show, we're putting the spotlight on Justin Belante, a healthcare recruitment expert and the CEO of Titan Placement Group. Justin has over a decade of experience in healthcare staffing world, and his mission is really to bridge the gap between high-quality candidates and the organizations that need them most. So Justin and his team at Titan Placement Group are dedicated to finding the perfect fit. In this episode, we're going to dive into Justin's inspiring journey, the challenges he's faced, and the strategies he's employed to build a successful recruiting firm. We'll also explore some latest trends and what it takes to thrive in this dynamic industry. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. So tell our listeners a little bit more about you and the Titan Placement Group.
Awesome. Thanks, Courtney, for that introduction. That was wonderful. Yeah. Hi, my name is Justin. I am the healthcare recruiter, co-founder over here, Titan Placement Group, recruiting company, specialize in community-based nonprofits, but willing and have the ability to basically do anything in healthcare.
So you've been in this industry for a while now. So tell me a little bit about your background, how you, Justin, what happened to your journey and your passion for healthcare recruiting? Were you always in healthcare recruiting? Kind of give me the backstory of you.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. So almost 10 years ago, I'll be 10 years in May, I was working at a call center in this very same building, actually. It's another story. My girlfriend, partner, fiance at the time was also working there, decided to leave, wanted to pursue something a little different, wasn't scratching that itch, if you will. She went into dog grooming. She loves animals and she really loved that. And I thought about myself and I really wasn't, you know, feeling super fulfilled doing inbound calling, you know, at a call center. So explored my options, saw a Craigslist ad of all things for a recruiter. And did a little research. Typically, it looked like something that even at the entry level required a degree. I didn't have one. So I was like, sounds good to me. They're willing to train. I'm in. So went to go interview and met with Barb at BioBrain and did a shadow day. She gave me like a script and a list. And I had to just book appointments for her to go meet with CEOs to talk about recruiting. And I booked like 3 appointments, you know, in like a couple hours. And she was like, you're a great appointment setter. Like, if you want the job, I'll teach you how to do this. So I signed up. And at the time, I didn't know any better, but it was, you know, 10 bucks an hour. I think it was like $1,000 a placement or something like that. Decent wage and definitely a lot more than what I was making at the call center. And I felt like I had made it, you know, and that's kind of my intro. Started with healthcare, basically been in healthcare the entire time. So that's all I know. Started with primarily and really only headhunting. So the joke is like people say like when they started recruiting, it was before the internet. Well, I started, it was like before LinkedIn or right around the time LinkedIn, it just became a thing. And all I had was Google and a phone, really. So just Excel sheets and lots of talking, basically. Building your own ATS, if you will, on an Excel sheet. Did that for a few years. We were doing pretty well. So I thought. One thing led to another, came in on a Friday, tapped on the shoulder, essentially laid off. The whole business was shutting down. They were up and moving back up to Ohio, and they were like, good luck. And it was a little bit of a shock, as one could say, right? Any layoff, I'd say it's a bit of a shock. Talked to a couple of friends to see what they were doing, you know, a couple of colleagues. They ended up finding something pretty quick. I wanted to kind of see what else was out there. Interviewed for a few different companies. Got some interest, which was really surprising to me because I didn't have a degree, but I did have a little bit of experience. So that was really cool. Interviewed, offered a couple of different companies. I found Robert and Bill over at a company called Cuity Professional Placement Solutions, which is now, I think it's like Cuity Healthcare. And that's where I met basically everybody, where it really started the metaphorical, I guess, snowball effect, my network. Worked there for several years. While I was there, a couple guys left and they split off and went to go start their own thing. At the time, they wanted me to leave as well with them. I was scaredy pants, decided not to go. One thing led to another, pandemic happened. That's right around that time. Nobody was hiring. I was salary plus commission and my salary disappeared. So my options were opened. Called a few friends. Lo and behold, the people who left were doing really, really well. Just kind of improved on what they had learned previously and made it a little bit better and created a positive work environment. So I left, basically. They offered me a little bit of equity, which was nice. So I left Acuity, went to Integrity Placement Group, worked there with those guys, Mark and Justin. I felt like my job was to kind of help, because when I was at Acuity, one of my mentors, friends, Steve Anderson, taught me a little bit more about recruiting, taught me more about like the ins and outs, more of the fundamentals. A lot of the training previously was more of like a just like traditional sales approach rather than like a consultative approach, if that makes sense. So he really like sharpened me up. And I left Acuity 10 times a better recruiter than I was when I first started. And I was really to take all of what I had learned with me to Integrity Placement Group. We took our average placement fee and like tripled it, basically, in the time that I was there. And that was super exciting. I felt like I played an integral role there as well. But it was still just, you know, it was part of it, if that makes sense. And it wasn't necessarily mine. One thing led to another. It sounded like the same thing that was happening the last company. People were leaving without me. I wasn't letting it happen this time. And here I am. So we quit. 6 month non-compete. I didn't work for 6 months. It was a blessing and a curse. And at the time, my wife was pregnant. So I got to get the baby room ready, got the nursery ready and everything. Converted my garage into my office now. And that time was really something that I really, looking back on, really value. At the time, you know, it was a little bit unnerving, I'd say. Started Titan Placement Group. And here we are. That's a long-winded way of saying I've been recruiting for 10 years and a lot's happened since then.
I love it though. That's amazing. Now, how long have you had Titan Placement Group open at this point?
Yeah, so we officially opened October 18th, 2022. So exactly 6 months after the day that I quit. So, yeah.
Look at you. Timing's everything.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, obviously you've been in this industry for a while. It is evolving. You saw a pandemic there. I mean, you've seen the ups and downs typical with this industry, but also amplified.
Sure.
What notable shifts have you witnessed in healthcare recruiting landscape over that time?
Yeah, so a few, actually. It seemed like when I first started recruiting, when you were headhunting, I feel like executives were a little bit more approachable, only because I feel like it was prior to like this big technological boom for recruiting, and where I could just call a CEO, get through the gatekeeper pretty quickly, and then I'm on the phone with the CEO of a major hospital system within 3 minutes. And now it's a multi-channel, multi-step sequence approach. I still do some of the old school cold calling stuff, and sometimes it works, but it's a totally different shift in approachability for clients, if that makes sense. In healthcare specifically, I've seen companies, especially bigger hospital systems, do a lot of centralizing. They got the bill at the end of the year, you know, a lot of these companies, and they're like, whoa, if we just paid someone to do this job ourselves, we could save so much money. So that, you know, made it easier for the clients that are more that midsize, right? But those bigger clients, a little bit more of a challenge, to answer your question, if that makes sense. But I still definitely see like a massive need for recruiters. You know, there's still a lot of value there.
Yeah. And I know you and I have talked before. I know we've talked how the industry has been overall, and you guys seem to be faring well out of this whole process where there's other organizations that are down 15 to 30%. Give me your perspective. I know we almost said you were part of the special club before we started.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your perspective of how things are going.
So I almost feel like, because I'm very empathetic, I almost feel like bad. And I was saying, I feel like I'm in my own little bubble over here. I almost like can't relate like at all. And I feel bad because I see it on LinkedIn all the time. Like these people are like, there's people are struggling. And I take calls sometimes, people reach out and they're like, hey, can we talk shop? And get your perspective, and I'm going to get out of this hole, you know? And I just followed up with one today, and she's like, no, I haven't made a placement yet, you know? And I'm like, just keep trucking along, you know, it's coming, keep doing the things. So yeah, really well here, and I can't relate too much. Didn't trying to give it a lot of thought as to why, you know, and how we got here. I think a lot of it has to do with just a lot of the reasons why we started this place is just to, I wanted to create the environment that I always wanted to work in. I just want to come to work, do a really good job, get rewarded very well, acknowledged, and get to go home and like enjoy my time with my family. And that's it. And I feel like we have done really well at creating something like that. We treat everybody with respect, you know, and kindness. Treat everybody like adults. If you're not here 8:05, okay. I just assume you got something going on. Like, I have a friend, known her for a long time, and first started, it's like, hey, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go here, I got to do this thing. And we're like, hey, you need to tell me. I assume that if you're not here, like, you're doing something important. That mentality, I feel like, has been, like, integral for our growth. And a lot of it's been organically, I think, because of that.
I love it. It's really, truly the human element. Not only are you putting that forward to your candidates and clients, but you're also putting it towards your own internal employees. And that's often a third audience that staffing and recruiting firms forget about. So I love that you're putting the emphasis on them.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
Well, okay. So we talked about things going well. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I love that for you. But talk to me about, with a decade of experience in your field, what would you say have been some of the biggest obstacles that you've confronted, and how have you overcame them?
Yeah, so it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows, just, you know, being honest. I mean, there's just been a lot of new challenges that I completely did not foresee coming my way whatsoever. I've been doing this a long time, and there's plenty of opportunity where I absolutely did give responsibility to other people, you know, or like, they were like, oh, hey, I'm going to handle this situation. And I'm like, by all means. And now I'm the guy. I've got to really be a little bit more methodical. I got to think about every single decision because it's not just affecting me. In my book of business, I've got 13 people now that really count on me. So every single time I go into a meeting where I'm having like a high level challenging call, here's one comes to mind. Client we've got some success with. I'm doing some good work for them. And as an owner, you know, I try and mitigate my own risk, right? Because I'm an owner operator. I have to manage my own book of business. If it gets to be a little too much, I'll pass off a client, somebody else. They can manage it basically, right? So did that. And she did really, really well. Every single thing that we've taught her to do as far as account managing, set expectations, manage expectations clearly, found good quality candidates that are qualified, interested, and available, that have recent relevant experience for the client. They loved them, they interviewed them. And then right before the offer, they want to negotiate the terms of our agreement. It's like, well, that's not really appropriate. So that's a whole new challenge I've never had to deal with. And how did I overcome it? Well, I think just being transparent and honest with these people, you know, it's like, well, I felt like it was a win. We're still waiting to see what happens, but being like, hey, you know, I understand the American way. Let's get a deal. But let's talk about a deal like after these funds, because these are in the process now. And then we'll go from there. So that's an example of one challenge that we've had to encounter for sure. Then there's the other stuff when it comes to like being almost a manager. I don't do a whole lot of managing. We hold each other accountable here. It's just a little different. It's not like micromanagement. Yes, we do track stuff, but it's for yourself, because we set our own goals here. But working and managing and dealing with 13 different personalities in the same room, because we have like an old school call center type pit mentality, like everyone's in one giant open room together. So it gets a little chaotic. And although like a lot of us are really, really, really close, sometimes tensions are high. So that's been another challenge that I really didn't foresee, because I felt like when I was a recruiter, I could kind of just put my blinders on like a horse, you know, and just kind of stay in my cube, put my soundproof headphones on and go to work. And 5 o'clock comes, I say goodbye to everybody. I can't really do that as much anymore.
No.
Yeah. So that's been a challenge too.
But it's amazing. I love that you're in the same place as them. From a learning and development perspective, it is amazing for other people to get to learn you and know how you respond to things and how you're successfully doing things, because they can hear you, they can listen to you. That's been a big challenge for a lot of people with the pandemic as they went to remote worlds, because they don't have that pit environment that they can listen into calls from top performers. So I love that you have that. Your office is blessed, whether they realize that or not, to be able to have that type of environment to learn and grow off of each other.
I appreciate you saying that. And that actually reminded me of another challenge that is a little controversial. And you kind of hit the nail on the head, like, because we're all in the same room together, there's like a unique element that you do not get working from home. There was someone I was really excited about with last year that has some experience, and we're going to bring them on remote. And I've never done it before. Anybody other than like agency experience. And was quickly met with reality. We don't have, like, we are so new. I can train someone, like, you want to build a home? Like, here's a hammer. Let's go build a home. Like, that's my training mentality. And we've done a lot more since then, but it's really hard to do that when you're not there. Like, you're really present physically, because, like, it's like 75% of the training, it seems like, comes from just being in the room with us. And I know that that might be controversial, because we've decided that we really don't want to hire anybody right now remote, unless they're a rock star, because it's like, it's a disservice to them. So basically we got to this point where it was like 2.5-3 months in, where we were realizing, like, oh no, they're not catching on as fast as we would like them to. And it really, the onus is on us. So it was like, well, what do we do? And then what a challenge that is, right? You're dealing with a human being's career here. It's a little different when you're a third party recruiter and you can kind of be like, oh, well, this, I know exactly what you should do, Mr. Hiring Manager. But when you're the guy, you know, it's totally different. And you got to do like the right thing sometimes can be really, really challenging, which could be to let them go before they're out of money. It's gone too far, you know, if that makes sense. So,
no, it makes complete sense. I love it. Obviously, you talked about opening up in October of 2022. You talked to me about some of the success, but any key strategies that you've employed to drive your rapid growth? October 2022 to 13 people now. Huge growth. So talk to me about what drove you to that. How have you established your presence in the healthcare market?
Yeah, I think kind of simplifying what we do. I think it's really easy to overcomplicate what we do, because there is 8,437 tasks to do in a day, but that's impossible, right? So trying to like simplify it. So when we first started, we didn't have any jobs to fill. So we had to do some BD, right? And we spent basically every waking hour we had doing business development. And we were doing old-fashioned, old-school business development because we didn't have any money. So we didn't have a lot of technology to lean on. And I think that, number one, having that mentality, it was kind of like the Alexander the Great's burn the ships mentality. Like, we got to Persia and it says burn the ships. And they're like, well, how are we going to get back? It's like, we're getting back a Persian ships, man. I got a baby now. We got bills to pay. So that fire inside of you definitely helped. But no, structuring your day too. So when we started to get clients, starting to split our day and our time into recruiting and BD, because number one, you have to get the clients or else we don't have a business. And then you have to find candidates or else we don't make placements. So then splitting our day. So we spend half the day doing BD, half the day doing recruiting, until there was so much of a need on the BD side that it was either we stop doing business development, slow down, and really put a lot of time and attention to the clients that we have, or we hire somebody. In the first 90 days, I think we had 100 jobs. So it was a little overwhelming. Old school cold calling, just cold calling and bugging the heck out of people. Professional persistence. For me, it was like really truly valuing the work that we do. And my thought process is like, I can't really bug someone at all, if I'm conveying value, I will never bug you. And like, if you're not interested, you let me know. And then if I call you again, then I would be bugging you. So that's like, there's like that line, but I go right up to it though, like right here. Yes, sir. I am absolutely wanting to call you every single day about this physician position that you have, because that's how important it is to your community. And they're like, whoa, all right, dude. Splitting our time, doing BD, lots and lots of BD every single day. It's like eating the frog, do it first thing in the morning too. Get the most challenging thing out as soon as you can, where they say the most productive hours too are between 8 and 12. So do BD in the morning. People seem to be in a bit friendlier mood too. I don't do a lot of BD on Fridays too, because people are just ready for the weekend, just like me. And then one thing too, I think that's been huge, is that there are things that you can do to determine whether or not like a client that you're working with is viable or not. not, or like to gauge how much time and attention you should really spend on their need, if that makes sense. So we've came up with some criteria called Rank Our Clients. It's just like a 10-step checklist. We rank them once a quarter. We'll go through our clients and say, okay, here's the really, really good ones. Here's the half decent ones. Here's the ones we probably shouldn't be working with, but we are anyways. And then here's the ones that we probably should let go. That's helped us a lot, prioritizing, kind of staying close to the placement, what do you call it? Say like an internal recruiter sometimes can be like, it's like a dog, as our analogy we use. Sense of smell is really good, right? We're like trained hound dogs. We know exactly where to go. It's not like we're just in the woods like, oh, squirrel. So there you go. That answers that question.
No, I love that. You hit on something and you talked about kind of a process. You're talking about ranking your candidates. I love that. Not enough people do that. But as you establish successful recruiting firms, you obviously have to have the right processes, the right team, the right culture. There's a lot of pieces that play into that. So maybe share some additional insights of how you approach scaling, whether it's expanding your team of recruiters. We kind of talked about that a little bit, or just really fostering effectiveness in your culture. So you talked about, hey, you're implementing new process for your clients, you're evaluating. Is there anything else that you're like, hey, we've got to do this? Or even if you focus on your BD, do you do number of calls? You do call blocks? Give me the lowdown. Give me a little bit more insight to kind of the things that you've implemented in your organization.
Yeah. So SOPs, that was the first thing. So we did standard operating procedures for basically everything that we do. So there is a process. Basically, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, okay, well, let's look at the process. Did you do all of it? You did? Okay, well, we're dealing with people here. Chalk it up to the game, right? Oh, wait. Oh, you didn't prep them? Oh, well, ha ha ha. There you go. Well, we know to prep the candidates, right? So stuff like that, that definitely helped for sure. For BD, I think we time blocked it. It was from when we first started, it was like from 9 to 11. And it was like, this is our dedicated time. So it's like, we're not booking any recruiting calls during this time. We're not like gabbing too much, you know, during this time. We're going to focus. We're going to be real diligent. And I think too, there's some synergy when everybody's doing the same thing at the same time, having the same type of high level conversations. It makes the next call you make just a little easier, and you feel more empowered when somebody does give you an objection. Especially if you hear somebody say it and they overcome the objection, like right, and then 30 seconds later, someone says, well, your fees are too high. And you're like, well, compared to what? And then they're like, I don't know. I'm not working with any recruiters. So, okay. That definitely helped for sure. Processes. Let's see here. Scripts. I'm a big fan of scripts. Well, here's the theory. Here's my theory. When you first start recruiting, well, it's quality or quantity, right? And when you first start recruiting, all you have is quantity. Because you don't know what you're doing. How could you? Over time, the quality increases, the amount of calls you need to make is decreased, right? And similar to the scripts, I say, here's what to say. Once you figure out how to say, then say whatever you want, basically. So I think that's been super helpful. We did some training, a lot of coaching too. We hired some coaches last year. We hired some help. Asking for help was a huge process that I had to developed myself. Lingo sheets. I come up with this thing called lingo sheets, basically, where it's like whatever industry you're in, different industry lingo keywords. Even if you don't know what you're talking about, at least make it sound like you do. I'm a big proponent of sticky notes. It's a little rudimentary, but there's that. I try and keep everything kind of very systematic. So like when we're working on a position, we have what's called saturating a position. So like in science, when something's oversaturated, like if you're putting sugar in your coffee and you keep putting sugar in your coffee, at some point, like the sugar doesn't mix in anymore. That's when it's oversaturated. And that is when a position has been worked efficiently. If it hasn't been saturated, well, it really hasn't been worked efficiently, right? So you can't just like post a job and pray that somebody good applies. I do that too sometimes, now I will say. But like we have a little thing here. So it's like literally just a list of resources and every single thing that you can do with resources. Guess what the number one is? It's Crelate. Yeah. It's Crelate. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And then basically you start with the job, whatever job you're working on. You go to Crelate first because it's a great ETS and we've really built it out. And you do all the stuff that you can do in Crelate. Most of the time you find somebody in there. If you don't, well, then you go to the next resource and you do all the things you can do with that. And then you go it again. And even if you get through all of it, still technically not saturated because recruiting is about timing. Like I do all that and then come back tomorrow and do it all again and whoop, somebody pops up. Also do a lot of tracking as far as activity and productivity. Came up with this little sheet. It's kind of like a spinoff from something that my old boss used to do that we all hated because he made us do it. And we've kind of like reframed it, you know, and made it more of like a thing that we all use for like bragging rights together. So dials, touches, talk time, business development, reach outs, name clears, submissions, interviews, offers, hires, agreements sent, signed, job orders. And then we do wins and learns every day. And we do this every day before a morning meeting. So that's really exciting. Everyone gets in rallies. It's kind of like team huddle. Everyone brags about how well they did yesterday. That makes sense?
Yeah, I love it. And morning meetings are great. I mean, I've seen some of the most successful morning meetings. They work on responding to resistance. They talk about candidates and placements. They talk about numbers and metrics and KPIs to make it more fun versus Big Brother.
Well, right. Well, so the way we've tried to do it is we try to make them shorter because nobody likes a long meeting. In the morning, we focus on business development. So our morning meeting is usually business development related. It's usually like best practice or training or experience or challenge that we're all had. And in the afternoon, we do recruiting, training, topics, Crelate training, tags, you name it.
Amazing. I love it. I love that you said Crelate. I did not empower you to say that.
It's not a paid advertisement.
Not a paid advertisement. Okay, so let's switch gears. Let's talk about economic landscape. We talked a little bit about this. Maybe compared to previous economic cycles, how does today's hiring demands and candidate dynamics differ from what you've seen in the past?
Well, in the pandemic, it seemed like people really didn't care too much at all. Or like, send me a body. Well, when I first started recruiting, you had to be good at it. And then it seemed like with all the technology, you didn't have to be as good at it. And then internal people got the technology. So then you had to be a little better. And then the pandemic hit and nobody could find anybody. That was a huge shift, I think, for sure. Because then we had to get reskilled again. You couldn't just call into a facility and say, I have a nurse. And they're like, send it. Oh, 30%? No problem. Now they're like, oh, I got a guy down the street who's doing it for, you know, 3 chickens and a bag of Skittles. You have to like really work to convey your value so well. And that's been a huge challenge for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to like meet them where they are. We're not paying over. I think there's been probably an overcorrection in the market too at this rate. So have you noticed any different changes with client priorities, budgets, requirements for hiring during our economic pressures right now?
Yes. With what I do, a lot of it's grant funded. So a lot of it's like at the mercy of the federal government. There's just this big thing that just went passed through and it could have been part of the reason why they got some of the funding that they were going to get or not. So that is a little tricky when you're dealing with community-based nonprofits. I've seen a big push for physicians. Especially recently, as far as like client priorities go, there's always been a need, right? There's a huge need. But I think there's a new shift with what's called value-based care. And in primary care, it seems to be like the forefront of like the future for primary care. So that's like really cool, exciting to see. It's more of like a holistic approach to care, a whole person care. It's on my lingo sheet. Everybody works together rather than like, it's like integrated care is what they call it. So like, rather than like you go to your doctor, and then you go to your dentist and they're completely separate. And then you go to your therapist. Hopefully you should. This is more like where they're all together. They're all like, oh, if you go to your primary care doc and you're anxious, might send you to the therapist right then. So that's really critical, I think, for people who might not know that therapy is accessible and they focus a lot on the underserved populations. So especially poor folk like me growing up, they didn't know that you could go to a place like this and get help for free. To advocate for more people too and get some of that out there is important. But yeah, big need for physicians, mental health clinicians, huge, and a big uptick in dentistry as well. A lot of people are sick and tired, I think, since the pandemic. The pandemic shut down dentistry as a whole. So it was cosmetic, right? So basically, what we've noticed is big corporate dental practices are getting a little, it's like guerrilla competitiveness, if that makes sense. So the average salary for a hygienist in Florida, 21, 30 bucks an hour, you're doing pretty well. Now you're looking at like 50 plus an hour. Like, good for them. But what's been difficult is when those, what they're trying to do is they're trying to recoup their 1.5 year loss, and they're working you to the bone. And these people are calling me like, man, I just want a regular job. So it's been good for us, because with the people we serve, it's more of like a regular position, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense. You talk clients, you talked a lot about business development and how you guys focus on the front part of your day to be business development. How has that changed? What's your approach to business development today, where maybe it wasn't that way 2 years ago?
So the boss used to say, like, always do BD. And you're always just like, yeah, man, I know you want me to get more clients for you. Like, okay, all right. Now I like kind of see why. Because the goal isn't to have 5,000 clients. You don't need all that to be successful. Like, no, I'm trying to make, so I want to make 7 placements a month. That's my goal, right? So you don't need 1,000 clients to do that, right? You only need like 1 to 7 positions or a few openings. So when I used to just do BD, get a couple of clients, work with them until they got all the invoices. And either I conveyed my value so well and I had such a great relationship that we got to keep working with them, or they got the bill and the CFO said, we just hired 3 new recruiters, but not you. And then going back to BD basically when I had nothing. And now I understand like how important it is to constantly do BD, so you don't find yourself with all your eggs in one basket. And so that way you're constantly like, I don't want to just have C clients. You know, I want every client I have to be A++ clients. And with recruiting, that shifts. My A++ clients 4 years ago are my C- clients today. So I'm looking constantly for the A pluses. That's what I'm doing when I do BD every day. It's more focused than when I was a recruiter. And I think that I've been able to help convey that message to the rest of the team. So hopefully they don't find themselves in the same pitfalls that we've all been in.
Absolutely. The running quote back when I was training was, a call block a day for BD keeps poverty away. And it's that balanced desk. So I love it. I love that. Let's shift gears a smidge more. Technology. We talked technology before we even started. AI is changing the process. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about maybe how you've innovated with your teams with technology on how to do your jobs better, more efficiently. What does that look like? What have you done? Give me the deets.
Yeah, I like to think I have a unique perspective. I don't know if it's that unique, but when I first started, it was just Google and a phone. That was it. And so like every piece of technology has been new. So when we started here, I finally had like the keys to the castle, if you will. And every time I wanted to try a new piece of technology, it was like, go make another placement. We're doing well. Like, if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of mentality. So been able to try all the different tools and technology since we started Titan. I didn't really know too much about like data enrichment technology. That's been like a game changer, completely relying on just cold calls to obtain information, which I feel like is silly. Nothing like the 27th page of Google too. You can find some really, really cool and fascinating information on there. Sequencing, that's been super helpful. Even just a formal cadence of an approach to BD or recruiting or whatever it is that you're working on. Something is always better than nothing. Even if you're not an expert recruiter, like coming up with some 10 step, 11, 12, whatever step process is going to be better than nothing. So I think having that, being able to use that is good. Tracking the emails and the campaigns and stuff too, something I've never really done before. I feel like a third grade recruiter that just happened to make a lot of placements in the last 5 years. Because all the stuff that I learned, it's like, wow, like I knew about Boolean and I knew about resume databases, but I didn't know about, you know, posting really jobs. I didn't know too much about that. I didn't know about SMS campaigns, email campaigns, tracking who's opening, who's clicking, sequences, multi-channel approaches, multi-step approaches, automated approaches. We do a lot with like alerts too. So like we set up a lot of stuff on the front end to basically have it do the job for us, which is super cool. And then ChatGPT. Love ChatGPT. Yeah, big AI guy. I'm really big on technology. It's like, I see it as a tool. Like I see a lot of like pros and cons, I think, if you will. I think the natural human response is to take the easy way out. And I think that AI can make the job really easy. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be effective. It's more like that quality and quantity type stuff. But that being said, there are plenty of opportunities where you can use it for productivity as like a hack, if you will, cut down the amount of time it takes to do job descriptions, relaying notes and maybe feedback to client a little more articulately. I didn't go to college, so sometimes it can change your tonality. You can change how professional sounding you want it to be. That's super helpful. And then you can use it for everything that I just listed as far as the technology goes. Use it as a brainstormer too. And it's definitely been really helpful. I'm starting to get into more of like the more advanced ChatGPT AI stuff. Trisha Tampkin over at Morse Essentials, they do like a lot of training and coaches and classes and stuff like that. I just did one of theirs and mind blown. I thought I was doing a lot with ChatGPT, only to see like I just got started. And then you got Bard now, which is also a lot of fun. They just added a whole Gemini feature to Google Workspace, which is really cool. I've been playing around with that. Yeah, I know. I love AI too. It's interesting. I feel like it's still so new. It's so hard to make such grandiose statements like it's going to take over recruiting or it's going to take over the world or our jobs are leaving. But it is a little scary when I hear that my colleague's property manager quit and they replaced her with an AI. So that's a real life story.
We just dropped an episode today with Maurice Fuller, and it's like a two-parter today and Thursday. It was enough to make you go, some of the things that he was saying the new gold standard for automation is 100 automations per staffing organization. He was talking about where AI is going, and it was like, whoa. Yeah, I would encourage you to listen in. He's really a wealth of information. It was crazy.
Oh, holy cow. I'm in.
I love it. Okay, so let's look ahead for the future of you and the Titan Placement operations. Any future changes or pivot to maybe remain competitive through these economic fluctuations?
Well, I think we're constantly going to be learning. I think that you can't get stuck in like the, this is the way we've always done it mentality. Recruiting 2 years ago is not what it is today. Someone I haven't talked to in 2 years that I talked to the other day, and they're like, well, what's changed since you left? I'm like, ha ha, you know, like so much has changed. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, how do you stay abreast of it all? I mean, there's so much information. There's, you know, the shiny tech that kind of lures you. Like, how do you stay evolving with AR industry, what you should be doing? What do you do?
I try to stay connected to my network. I try to do networking beyond just for business development and recruiting. I try to network with people like you and listen to podcasts too, about, especially when it comes to recruiting, especially in different industries, because I feel like you can get stuck in your silo very easily. So yeah, podcasts, networking on LinkedIn, and I think too, like just getting yourself out there too, network locally. I think that's opened a lot of doors for me too. People love doing business with people that are local. I would prefer to do business with someone who's local. I think if they're going to be working on my house or something, I would fly some guy in from a different state. One thing I think that's really helpful for us is that I love taking and hearing opinions and thoughts and ideas from people who've been doing it for 6 months or less. Some of these people come in and they never done recruiting. I have a guy who's never done recruiting a day in his life, classically trained actor, bartending for nearly a decade while he was acting. And I mean, man, this guy, like, he asks such thought-provoking questions and, like, says things that I've never heard a client say, I've never heard a recruiter say, never heard a candidate ask before, and just round table, sit in a room, and it happens every day, basically. And they're like, I don't know what you call that, but, like, the ability to round table and brainstorm with the team, like, we get 13 smart, hungry, ambitious people in a room together, like, we can come up and take over any situation and overcome it, if that makes sense.
I love collaboration speaks volumes, especially when you have people that are open and receptive to new ideas. That's where you move mountains. All right. I only have one more question for you, Justin. I promise.
Okay. Yeah.
What advice would you give staffing and recruiting professionals that are here? They're looking to grow. What advice would you give them? Because you were here not only a year and a half ago. What advice would you give your earlier self or someone that was in your position?
If you don't have a process, find one. If you don't have one, make one, right? Something is better than nothing. And having something, I think, you can find ways to improve it. But if you don't have something, you don't know what to improve.
I think that's great advice. I support that conversation. I definitely think that it's a starting point. You have to start somewhere. And I think it's a great place to start. Well, Justin, thank you so much for your time today. What an insightful conversation. I love your passion for people and healthcare and really serving the communities in which you shine. So thank you so much for joining us today. I think your expertise and your journey has been where many of us have been or currently are. If you'd love to connect with Justin, we'll put his LinkedIn profile in the show notes as well. And as to our listeners, thanks for joining in. We'll be back soon with more of inspiring stories and actionable insights from leaders in the staffing and recruiting world. Until then, keep growing, keep learning, and keep making your desk a fuller experience. Have a great day. I'm Courtney Harmon with Crelate. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Industry Spotlight, a new series from the Full Desk Experience. New episodes will be dropping monthly. Be sure you're subscribed to our podcast so you can catch the next Industry Spotlight episode and all episodes of the Full Desk Experience, here or wherever you listen.